All right, what's going on, my friends? Tony Stephan here and back with another episode of the School of Success podcast. I'm here with a good mentor, indirect mentor of mine, Craig Ballantyne. And Craig, if you don't know who he is the author of this book I have in my hand here, The Perfect Day Formula, which has had a profound effect on my life, man. First off, I just want to start off by saying thank you because 2 years ago, I was at Fitness Business Summit, which is our mutual coach and mentor's Bedros Koulian's event. I just signed up for business coaching with Bedros Koulian. I had like no money to my name. He's like, look, man, I'm going to comp you a ticket. You got to come to this event. The speakers are amazing. And I was just getting ready to start my online business. And I was struggling with just so many things, fear, doubt, anxiety, worry, productivity, all that. And I heard a few speakers there that really moved me. John Romanell was definitely one of them. But yourself, when you got on there and you spoke about just managing your time and all of that, and then I got your book, it was truly one of those moments that like set me off on a spiral for success, man. So first off, I just want to start off by saying thank you for that. Thank you for your talk and, you know, all your information that you have out here. It's truly amazing.
Oh, man, I love doing it. I love hearing the success stories. That's really what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely. So let's jump right into it, man. So for those, again, who don't know, Craig's been around in the fitness industry for quite a period of time, right? With Turbulence Training, that was back in the 90s, correct?
Whoa, not that old, man.
Okay. Back,
I started selling in about 2001.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. So 2001, which was like, you're one of the pioneers of online info marketing and all that, right? With Turbulence Training, that program.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a couple of mentors that helped me. And then we've helped millions of people with that program. It's amazing.
Yeah. So that was kind of your start there. And I remember even reading some of your earlier content. You got into writing a lot too. You mentioned you would write articles on your BlackBerry on train rides in Toronto, correct?
Yeah. On the subway home from the gym, I'd train people during the day. And then you get crammed in like sardines in the subway car. And I'd be writing, you know, and I still have a BlackBerry. I don't have it with me right now, but I still have it because I just write so well on it.
Awesome, man. Yeah. So you start with all that. How did you make the transition from doing that to what you're known so well for now, which is, you know, productivity and time management and just helping entrepreneurs and high level people create the perfect day in their life?
Yeah. So what I did was I had to go and start coaching other people to build their online businesses because I love doing that. And then I realized they needed to get focused and productive. And so I started coaching them on that. And it really evolved into my Perfect Day Formula book, which has helped so many people around the world. And it really has just helped them, you know, go from really being really scattered to being super laser focused. So shotgun scattered to laser focus is what I do now for people.
Oh, I love that. I love that analogy. So your start into all this, though, it kind of started, because I know your story pretty well. I've listened to your podcast and your videos. It started with a bit of a challenge that you had to personally overcome. Could you dive a little bit deeper into that and tell us kind of your hero's journey with all that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had anxiety attacks back in 2006, right when I was making the transition from being a personal trainer to being online entrepreneur. And it was a great time, but it also gave me this paradox of freedom, as I describe it, where I was working too much and I was celebrating too much because I was young and successful. But again, I didn't have any boundaries in my life. And that was what I needed to do next, was put together the boundaries. And when I put boundaries, I went from the paradox of freedom, which gets you into trouble, to the paradox of structure, which gives you success. And then you can have true freedom. So it was through those anxiety attacks that I've built all of the systems that allowed me to get more done during the day and really have the impact in life that I wanted to. And I was very fortunate to go through some tough times in order to come out the other side.
Wow, that's great, man. So the biggest thing that I've always taken away from your content and things was I was the person who would wake up whenever I wanted, right? I would roll over, I'd check my phone, I'd check social media, I would check email, and then like anything could just throw me for a loop and start off my day before I've even taken a footstep out of bed in a horrible place. So I know the biggest thing I've ever taken away from you is like win those mornings and control that first like 10 minutes. Can you just expand a little bit more into that, how you preach winning your mornings to earn your freedom the rest of the day?
Yeah, and I used to be like that too, of exactly like that. And I, in 2006, I would wake up, I'd roll over, I'd check the BlackBerry, it'd be 7:30 in the morning. I'd already feel late because 7:30 you know, I'm a morning person. I want to do a lot in the morning. So 7:30, man, that was already too late. And then checking your email, and you get one bad email and it throws you down the rabbit hole of negativity. And so I realized, you know what, I need space here. So I started getting up 5 minutes earlier and not checking my email for 5 minutes longer. And I just grew that gap until it was hours and hours and hours, which allowed me to write the book. And I write thousands of words a day because I'm able to do that and have that separation. It was so powerful for me, and anybody can do it.
What would be some like actionable, like first steps? So like, let's say if like me a few years ago, do you just start like cold turkey and just like you said, like just start waking up earlier every day? Or what are some actionable items for someone who struggles with the morning productivity?
Yeah. So the first thing you can do is get up 15 minutes early and spend 15 minutes focusing on your number one priority in life. That's it. Just 15 minutes. I'm not asking you to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm not asking you to get up 3 hours earlier. I just want you to get up 15 minutes earlier than normal. That means, you know, we're going to have a better nighttime routine. We can talk about that in a bit. But what you need to do is make sure that you get up and you know what your number one priority is. You go down to your kitchen table, you sit there with pen and paper, no electronics, and you start planning to take advantage of an opportunity or to overcome a problem in your life. And if you do that 15 minutes a day, 6 days a week, that's 72 hours in a year of uninterrupted, clear thinking, big thinking on your number one priority in life. And that is how you win the game. And that's it, 15 minutes at a time.
Wow. So for people who want to start with like an hour, like you would even dissuade them and say, no, just start with 15 minutes and build up from there?
Well, I mean, listen, if somebody's going from zero to an hour, it's going to be hard to maintain. It's like taking a client who does nothing but eat pizza and soda and then say, okay, for the rest of your life, you're just going to eat chicken and broccoli. That isn't going to work. And I've had very successful, very famous people like Russell Brunson. You know, he was getting up at 7:30 in the morning and then he got my book and he started getting up at 5 o'clock and he was like, oh man, that's amazing. And I knew what was going to happen. He was going to have that early morning hangover where after 2 or 3 days, it catches up to you, and it did. And, you know, that's when people say, oh, this morning stuff doesn't work, is because they try and go cold turkey and they try and go like way too fast. So let's just take it. Let's just get some victories because, you know, by next week, we'll be up to that hour almost, but let's just take it slow this week and totally dominate and not have any setbacks.
Wow. It's so crazy how like productivity parallels, like you said, with fitness and nutrition, right? You don't just go from eating pizza and beer all the time to like cold turkey, throw it all out. You have to slowly wean yourself. And it seems like it's parallel with productivity and time management.
Absolutely.
Awesome, man. So let me ask you this. How do people know what's the number one task for themselves? So maybe it's weight loss or fitness or business. Like how, especially with entrepreneurs, right? We're like, what does B always say? The anxiety of overwhelm, right? And yep. The idea fairy comes up. How do you prioritize your number one task?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a really great question and very wise question, actually. And so what we do is we figure out what season of life somebody is in. And so there's four seasons of life. You can be in health, wealth, family, or personal development, personal enrichment. And what that last one means is, I'll go through them all. So health is pretty obvious. And health is when, you know, somebody has spent 25 years taking care of their family and the kids are out of the home now and they spent 25 years in their career. They're pre-diabetic because they didn't exercise during those years. And it's like, okay, well, now we need to get you back in shape. So the first thing that you're going to do every day is focus on your number one priority of health. Now, somebody who's younger, you know, closer to your age, you know, they might be in a season of wealth building. You know, maybe they're engaged. Maybe they're dating somebody long term. Like, okay, I want to build up a nest egg for a beautiful home, and I want to make sure that we're able to afford a great life. All right, that means I need to really, really focus on taking care of building up my finances. So I'm going to work a little bit more. You know, I'm still going to do my workouts. I'm still going to focus on family time. But I'm really just going to cut back a little bit on some of those things and really focus on building the wealth. And then there's family. You know, now fast forward a couple of years, you got married, you have a kid, and you are just family first no matter what. You know, that child depends on you. And so your health is going to take a little bit of a backseat. You're not going to neglect it, but it's going to take a little bit of backseat. And so family first in the morning. So whatever it is, that's what you're going to focus on. And the personal enrichment, the fourth season of life, is when your health is good, your finances are good, your family is taken care of. And my mother's in this right now. You know, she's financially secure. Her health is pretty good. And the kids are out of the house, obviously. And so what she's going to do is volunteer. And that's what personal enrichment is. So she gets up and she organizes her volunteers first thing in the morning. And that's what she does. So it's always, you're always able to set it up so that you can focus on your number one priority in life all the time. And it's one of those four. And you just have to look at what your season of life is. And it's going to be very, very clear. And so one last example I'll give, like, let's say somebody's in credit card debt right now, $3,000 worth of credit card debt, and it's really hurting you. Okay, well, what can we do? Wake up 15 minutes every morning and sit down at your kitchen table and figure out, how can I cut my expenses? How can I increase my income? And if you do that 6 days a week, 15 minutes at a time, you will get out of credit card debt faster than just trying to make it through life, you know, day by day and not really thinking about it. That's the how you have those big breakthroughs.
Wow, that's awesome. I've never heard, I don't think you've explained it like that before, but that really makes perfect sense with it. Do you think that all things start with health? That's like pillar number one, then you build up from there, or it comes at different levels?
It really depends. It depends. I mean, because health is like, health for me is different than health for somebody that doesn't like to work out. You know, health for them is just having energy and, you know, maybe going for a walk or something. So health is important. But for some people, family is far more important than health. And some people can have a really long life and have decent energy and never, ever go to the gym and never work out. And that's totally fine. So we really need to really focus first on their values and their vision, because your values and your vision drive every decision. And that's what really matters. So we don't force our values on other people. We can't do that as coaches. We need to listen to them and figure out, okay, what matters to you? And let's take care of you the best we can so that you can be as successful as possible.
Oh, that's great. No, I definitely agree with that. What do you say, Craig, would be people's biggest challenge with like getting started with all this? Do you think it's them getting in their own way? Because you always hear, I don't have enough time, Craig, or, you know, I don't have enough time to do all the things that I'm supposed to do with my nutrition, my health, and my fitness. So you're saying just start with the 15 minutes and then always build from there?
Well, yeah, I mean, you really need to take a couple steps back and you need to figure out what matters first. You need to figure out, okay, what are my values? What are my values for my family? You know, am I a family first person? Am I a money first person? Am I a health first person? You know, I was just reading, I love reading obituaries because you learn so much in lessons of life from other people. And I was reading about these artists, and they were married for 70 years and they died hours apart at age 96, and they didn't have children. And they said their children were hanging up on the wall in the paintings that they created. So, you know, I can't go and force my family values on those people. We have to sit down and we have to have a chat about what really matters to you in life. How are you going to be fulfilled? How are you going to contribute to the world? You know, what really matters in terms of your health? And so it's, again, what matters first is the client's vision for their future. And when we have that in place, we can build them their perfect life.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, what, how long have you been reading obituaries for? I've never heard of that.
I mean, it's just in the newspaper all the time. I like to read the newspaper. So, you know, the New York Times has really great obituaries about successful people. And I think there's just so much to learn. I mean, an obituary is not much different than an autobiography or a biography of somebody, not an autobiography, but a biography of somebody. And so anybody who's read a biography has really read an obituary.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good way of looking at it. So let me ask you this. You have a big recommendation of going to bed and waking up at the same time every day as much as possible for energy. Can you talk a little bit more about that for consistent energy?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a matter of your body loves routine. The human body loves routine. It wants to eat at the same times every day. It wants to exercise at the same times every day. And it wants to have the same sleep cycle every day. It wants you to go to bed at the same time every night. It wants you to go to bed or get up at the same time every morning. And when you do those things, you are going to be very, very healthy with hardly putting any effort into your life. Now, it's very difficult to do that. I understand that with the social norms that we have and all the temptations that are out there. But when I finally started doing it, and I resisted it for 7 years, when I finally started doing it in my early 30s, it was a game changer. I had more all-day energy than ever before. I mean, it was more important than exercise. It was more important than even, it was as important as nutrition, because nutrition, bad nutrition can really zap your energy. But wow, I felt amazing. And I was, you know, because I was no longer sleeping in on Saturday and Sunday mornings, throwing off my circadian rhythm and then tossing and turning on Sunday night, which is a killer, because then you wake up Monday morning with anxiety and you're late and you're tired. And it's not until Wednesday morning that you're back normal. So if you are sleeping in on the weekends, you got to stop that. Even if you stay up late, you got to get up as close as possible to your normal wake up time. That is a key element in success. You have a nap later on, you go to bed earlier the next night, but listen, do not sleep in on the weekends. That is a killer.
Wow, that's great. And that goes against so much of what you're taught, like, right, I'll catch up on sleep on the weekends. Do you find that's hard to implement with your clients at first if they're not used to that?
It is challenging only in that they don't know what to do when they stay up late. And listen, it's going to happen. It happens to everybody at least twice a week, I'm sure. And so what we need to do is, first of all, commit. Just commit to getting up as close as possible to your morning wake-up time. If you sleep in a little bit, it's okay. No one's going to die here. We just need to try and get better every single day. And so what I give people a rule of thumb, if you're going to be up an hour later than normal, you're allowed to sleep in an extra 15 minutes at the most. So if you're up 3 hours later, you could get to sleep in an extra 45 minutes, and then you have to catch up with a nap or something. But that just gets you to start thinking about, how can I orient my lifestyle where I'm not up crazy long on certain nights of the week so that I can hit my normal wake-up time. And, you know, once you get to a certain age, that just is something that you get into naturally.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. So one thing that I know you have said multiple times before, and Bedros always reminds me of this, is using every part of the pig. I hope I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think with productivity, right, that comes really into play. So can you explain a little bit more about that metaphor and what it means and how people can apply that in terms of productivity?
Yeah, absolutely. And so it means, what can Tony do with this podcast? Well, he can make a YouTube video out of it. He can make a podcast out of it. He can get transcribed and make it into articles. He can put, you know, minute-long Instagram stories. He can do, or minute Instagram regular posts. He can do Instagram stories with it. You can do 1 minute clips on YouTube. I mean, you could probably get 20 uses. You can maybe transcribe this and use it as a book chapter, and you can get 20 uses out of every single hour of content you create. So you need to be thinking about that. What can you do in order to leverage your time? Every single thing that you do, every email response I give to a coaching client, I try and leverage that. I try and turn it into a newsletter. I might turn it into a story. I might copy and paste it to other people, obviously taking out the personal information. But if I'm going to teach somebody something, how can I get leverage from it? And my business partner, Bedros Koulian, does this. Like, every time he's on a podcast, he has it filmed. He uses it himself. He puts it clips here, there, and everywhere, turns it into speeches. You can't do anything one and done, because you'll never take big 10x leaps if you're just doing one and done for everything in life.
Oh, that's great, man. And I agree, especially with, if we're talking now like entrepreneurs and coaches, again, it's the anxiety of overwhelm. I need to post on YouTube. I need to post on Facebook. I need to post on Instagram. But what you're saying is kind of like, create one piece of content and then let it trickle down. And again, utilize every piece of the pig, so you're not overwhelmed, but getting
exactly
out of one piece.
Yeah. And I mean, like, if you have a seminar, you film the seminar, you turn it into a product, or you turn it into YouTube videos. You just want to make sure you are leveraging every moment of your life, your work life. You know, if you in downtime, you can forget about that. But when you're working, let's get 10x out of the work.
Absolutely. I think that goes from the difference of working harder versus working smarter.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Because you hear that a lot in entrepreneurship. In entrepreneurship, it's very popular for the grind 24 hours a day and I only get 3 hours of sleep. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, listen, you got to draw the line somewhere. So everybody listening is not going to be the world's richest person. We got to accept that. So where are you okay with being? What are you okay, and what are you willing to do, and what are you willing not to do? And when you have those boundaries clearly communicated in your mind and to your partners and to your relationships, then you're going to be comfortable. You're going to be okaying saying no. Like, listen, hey, I went to a seminar last month. I can't go to another seminar this month because it takes me away from family time. I'm committed to growing and education, but that commitment only goes so far as one seminar every 2 or 3 months. I'm not going to a seminar every weekend because you know what, that just intrudes on my family life. I realize that that means I might only make, you know, $550,000 this year instead of, you know, 1.3, but that's a boundary that I've drawn. And so, you know, anybody that goes to bed at night, you've drawn a boundary line, because yeah, you could stay up and work later, but you've drawn a line. And so it's very important. It goes back to the values and vision. If you know what you are willing to do and what you're not willing to do, those are the boundaries. That's your lane. You stay in it and you get as successful as you can be while being the least stressful that you can be. And that's a talk, a conversation, a level of communication you need to have with yourself, with your family, and with your business associates as soon as possible, so that everybody is on the same page and knows what you are going to stand and deliver.
No, that makes perfect sense. Again, I see a lot of parallels, like in nutrition world, right? So like if I have a client that says, hey, look, I'm not going to give up 2 date nights per week with my significant other, then you just have to create, like you said, your values Beautiful. Around that, and then your realistic expectations that you might not get a 6-pack of abs in, you know, 12 weeks, but you're going to feel so much better because you're still incorporating the things you enjoy, and you can be very successful within that realm.
So true, man. You nailed it with that analogy. That's beautiful.
Awesome, man. So you talk a lot, and this is something, again, really great from you. For entrepreneurs, we'll stay on that. The difference between social media and business media. So not going into social media like everyone else, but treating it as a business media. And again, being productive with that. Can you expand a little bit more into what you mean about that?
Yeah. So let's start with this phrase. Use social media, but don't let social media be used on you. Because you have to remember that every single day in Silicon Valley, some of America's smartest minds, well, the world's smartest minds, because people come from all over, they are working to make you addicted to Instagram, Facebook, all these other websites. That is their job. That is their mission, is to make you an addict. So you got to realize you are up in a big fight here. You're up in a big fight. And so that means you have to reframe what you are using these websites for. Listen, if you want to know what your cousin is up to, don't go on a computer. Go to their house. Call them up on the phone. You know, do something like that. Maybe FaceTime them, but don't be going and saying, well, I got to go see what my cousin is doing, so I have to go to Instagram. No, that's not how you build family relationships. You need to think about, okay, there's this website called Instagram. There's this app called Instagram. There's this app called Facebook. I have a business, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to use those to make my business grow. And I might get a little bit of entertainment out of it, but that's not why I'm really using it. I am using it to build my business. It is business media. And I am using this media to build my business. I'm gonna use Instagram like a television station. I am only gonna post stuff that advances my business. And I'm not here to post pictures of my dog because they're cute. I'm here to post pictures of me and my dog doing something that accelerates my business. And that is how you use Instagram and Facebook properly. That is how you prevent yourself from being sucked into wasting your time on it. That is how you have an empire thinking about it and leveraging it so that you can be successful and draw away from those devices and those addictive websites, and you have control over them rather than them having control over you.
Wow, man. That's very, very powerful. Do you recommend scheduling blocks of time in your day? Like, okay, I'm going to go on Instagram and use it as business media. Because I know you've also mentioned that you've, you know, created business in the back of an Uber. So is it a little bit of both, or how does that work?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know that when I get in an Uber, that's scheduled business media time. And so I do block my time for it. So in the morning after I have done a deep block of work, I am rewarded with business media time. That's when I go on, I create my stories, which drive people to my workshops, which drive people to buying my book. That is when I go and do things that accelerate my business. I am only using that to move ahead. So on the other hand, if you are, you know, find yourself with a little bit of downtime and you have nothing else to do, then yeah, you can go on your business media again. But most of the time it is scheduled.
That's great. So it's kind of a little bit of both, scheduling it, but also maximizing on just free space of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So let me ask you this. Where do you see people like failing the most with productivity? Is it just they're just not starting off the morning with the right way. They're not identifying their values the most. Like, where's the biggest failure most people make?
Yeah. So three things. One, they're not dominating their morning. Two, they're distracted. They're trying to do too many things. And three, that all comes down to the thing that most people miss, which is they're not planning and preparing the night before. And you really need to do your to-do list the night before, not the morning of. If you're making your to-do list in the morning, you're already too late. You're wasting valuable time. So that needs to be done planning the night before. On Sunday, you plan the week ahead, and then every evening, you plan the next day. And the more specific you're planning, the more successful you're going to be. And that is how you're going to have big breakthroughs in life. That's how you're going to make yourself a productivity machine that doesn't have to work at night when you should be present with your family.
Wow, I love that. And I believe you've talked about in the past doing like a brain dump. So getting everything out of your mind at night so it's not replaying through your head when you're trying to sleep. Because we've all had that. We're like overly stimulated at night. You try to go to bed. You try to shut it off, but your brain just keeps working.
Absolutely. You know, too many people have too much going on. And that is really going to get in your way of things. So you need to, first of all, if you want to have a good sleep, you need to take that piece of paper out, write down all the things you want to do tomorrow, all the people you need to call, all the errands you need to run, and just get it out, clear your mind. Now organize that into a list of priorities. Oh, this is the most important thing I need to do tomorrow. Then this, then this. If I get these other things done, great, but these are what I must get done. And then you can script your day out, and then that is how you have a really, really perfect day. And you're able to go to sleep and go, you know what? I got tomorrow covered. I'm just going to be able to go down. As soon as your head hits the pillow, you're off to sleep.
Oh, that's great. I think one of my biggest hurdles when I first started as an entrepreneur, I talked to B about this all the time, was trying to do too much within a given day. And he gave me the analogy of all you're trying to do is win those small few objectives, tick the needle forward, and then come back the next day and do that consistently over time. And then you do that. Do you see that a lot with people? They're trying to make 20 item to-do lists throughout the day and you feel overwhelmed by it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you stole that one from me for sure. I mean, that is something I see all the time. Holy cow. I mean, you're trying to jam 10 pounds of potatoes into a 5-pound bag. And you know what? Even if you get three great things done, you look at the seven things that are not done. You go, oh, I'm like really anxious and stressed out. So, you know, the best thing to do, Tony, is to first of all, you have a template a day. You know, first thing in the morning, I'm going to have a deep block of work. Then I'm going to have recovery, maybe exercise, meditation, breakfast, family time, get the kids off to school. Then it's another block of deep work. Then there's communication time. Then there's a lunch break. Then there's meeting time. Then there's the brain dump, the wrap up of the day. And you know what? That is a good approach to it. Now you want to work as hard as possible in that time, but you don't say, well, I'm going to do a deep work block here, and then I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and then I'm going to have family time and breakfast. No, because you know, you're not going to get done on time. You're going to start stealing the time from your family. You're not going to be present. Everyone's going to be angry, and it's just not going to work. So you really do have to properly plan your day. And what that requires you is to be self-aware. You have to be self-aware of what you truly can get done. It's very much like those boundaries we talked about before. You got to have boundaries about what you will do and what you will not do. And you have to have boundaries about what you know you can get done and when you're planning too much. And when you stick in your lane in every area of life, that is when you're going to be successful.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that I absolutely agree with that. That's amazing. Something you kind of were alluding to as you were talking about that is, you know, mapping out your day. Now, when you've talked at FBS the last 2 years, we sit and during your talks, we plan out like where we will be in the future. And you say, get as detailed as possible. Like, who are you with? What are you doing? What's the house look like? Can you just, obviously this is a very broad topic that you talk for hours about, but just the power of crystal clear visualization for what you want to achieve and like getting as down to details as possible with creating the perfect day or the perfect life.
Yeah. So there's a great scene in the movie, The Secret, with a guy named John Ashraf, and he's going through this pile of magazine pictures and he realizes that, you know, he used to have this vision board a few years ago, and one of these pictures was of this amazing house, and he didn't realize it at the time, but when he had those pictures up on his vision board, and he put them away and he lost that vision board, but he ended up moving into the house that was in that picture, the exact house. And it was a very emotional moment for him because he was looking at that house all the time. And I guess there was like a couple year gap between when he took that vision board down and when he actually moved into that house. But, you know, just it's all about the focus and the specificity in your mind. And for me, I remember when I hired my first business coach, a guy named Tom Venuto, the very first question on the very first call, Tom said to me, "Craig, what do you want your business to look like?" And I said, "Tom, I want to own a business like Early to Rise." At the time, I was just in the fitness space. And Tom said, "Well, I know what Early to Rise is. It's a great website. It really helps a lot of people build their wealth and improve their health. So Craig, if you want to own that, you have to go and become a better speaker, a better writer, a better coach, a better trainer, a better networker, a better manager, a better leader, all these things." And I said, "Okay." And I went and did the work. And I attracted that opportunity in my life. And it was 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days later that I bought that business of my dreams because of the specificity of knowing where I wanted to go. And therefore, that just showed me, okay, that's a straight line to success. Like if someone comes to you, Tony, and says, "Hey, I want to lose 20 pounds in the next 75 days. Great. That's an advanced protocol. Here's exactly what you're going to need to do in order to get your dream destination. Here's a straight line to success. And if you have that for every area of your life, I mean, it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. If somebody wants to climb Mount Everest, it's not like, well, you just go and then you try and find a way up. No, you go and you follow the path that everybody else has used for success. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple because the path has been laid out once you have that clear vision in your mind of what you want to achieve.
Do you think most people just struggle with knowing specifically what they want? It's not doing the work or like following the path. Like you said, they just don't know specifically what they want. They're not clear enough on their vision.
Right. They never thought about it. They've never thought about it. They've never been asked the right questions. And I'm sure when you did that exercise at Fitness Business Summit, you were like, "Well, I've never been asked that before. I've never thought about it this way." And it's something that it's one of my strengths. So I don't know if you ever heard of the Strengths Finders test, but there's a very popular test. It's like Colby. It's like Myers-Briggs. And it shows you what you're the best at. And I am strategic, futuristic, and a couple other things. And I'm way off the charts compared to the normal person. Normal person does not think like I do. And I come along and help them create that vision and that strategy for their future. And it just makes it clear. So it's not anybody's fault if they don't know what really matters. It's just because they're not gifted with the talents and they've never had the experience of doing it. And most people don't have the time. Everybody's too busy to think, but thinking is what sets you free and helps you build your empire.
Absolutely. Do you find it hard being such a forward thinker? Do you find it hard to stop and smell the roses or be present in the moment since you're always creating the future of where you want to go? Or have you found balance with that? Because I know that's something I struggle with.
No, it's actually, well, I mean, when you know exactly what you want, you know that that's part of it. And so if you want that, then you simply just need to plan it in there. You know, so many entrepreneurs come to my events, my workshops, and they say, "Well, you know, I'd love to have weekly date night." And I say, "Well, how often are you having weekly date night? Are you getting it every week?" No, maybe once a month. Okay, well, what's the first step we can take? Can we start planning? Can we start putting that on the schedule every week? Yeah, we can. Okay, great. Now we build your life around your date night, not let's try and fit date night into the week. No, you start with what matters. And so if being present with family is what matters most to me, I start with that vision in mind and then create my life around it. So it's just a different way of thinking. Most people think, "Oh, well, I got to work 9 to 5 and then I got to fit everything else in." No, you start with obviously the limitations you have around your work, but you start, once you have those in place, you start planning what really matters first. And then that way you never miss out.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it's most people just don't even stop to take the time to even think about things like that and what they really want. So it's almost going against what all of society kind of forces you to think about and taking the time just to slow down and prioritize. Like you said, all comes back to your values.
Yeah. And you know what? Again, we go back to there's a whole lot of forces working against us. There's every single internet company is trying to make us addicted so we lose our time. You know, we got traffic, we got commute, we got work, we have the demands of going to the gym. Where are you fitting time in for big thinking in there? You really have to open that up. It's up to you. You know, a couple hours on a Saturday morning, you can think out the next 3 months. I mean, it's really game changer. So you need to find a time when you're not going to be distracted. Saturday morning, Sunday afternoon, maybe a Friday evening. Yeah, you're going to sacrifice a little bit of social time, but you do that planning and you'll actually have more social time in the future. It's like any investment. The short-term pain is worth the long-term gain. But if you go for short-term gain, you're going to have long-term pain.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So I have two more questions. Number one, just what books have made a profound impact on your life? And obviously, I know you've written this one. I believe you're writing a new one. Is that correct?
Yeah. And the next one is going to be called Unstoppable. It's about overcoming anxiety, overcoming entrepreneurial anxiety, which we talked a lot about on this show. Another book that's really been helpful for me, which I wish every high school student had to read this book. It's Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. It's a powerful book. There's another one that I read and buy for a lot of people called The Art of Living by Sharon LaBelle, and it's a translation of Epictetus, the Stoic philosopher. And then one of my favorite books these days is Relentless by Tim Grover, the former strength coach for Michael Jordan. And then I've been lucky enough to read some advanced copies of Man Up by Bedros Koulian, and that is another game changer.
Oh, that's awesome, man. So kind of like a little outside the box question. What's the difference between an entrepreneur who's making six figures per year to the entrepreneur who's making seven figures per year in terms of mindset and productivity?
The six-figure entrepreneur has a job and is not thinking like a chess master. A seven-figure entrepreneur is moving chess pieces around on the board and is not actually on the board. So they're hiring the best people. They are getting the best people in place to do the best work. They're supporting those people. And they're really not in the business, in the game. They are above it and moving people around. And it's totally different. So the six-figure people, they have really high-paying jobs, and that's great. And they're really making a difference in the world. But they could be making a greater difference if they look at themselves as that chess master, as that general, as that coach. That's what they are in life. It's not that they are a person in the game.
Do you find, as an entrepreneur yourself, do you find, or was it hard for you, or do you find it hard for the people you coach to get them to take themselves out of the picture, especially if it's a company they've built themselves hands-on?
Yeah, for sure. Everybody has that, you know, for a couple reasons. One, they think that nobody else can do it better, which is patently false, of course. And two is it takes that short-term pain of showing somebody else what to do. And they don't want to do that. Or, you know, if they come from a scarcity mindset, they don't want to pay somebody to do other things. And so that is something that slows a lot of people down. So that is a very difficult thing.
Wow, man. Super insightful. So I want to respect your time, as I said. I've taken away so much from this. So thank you. I know everyone listening has. If people want to connect with you or learn more about you or your content, I know you're big on Instagram. Yeah. Where are the best places for people to find you?
Well, they can get a free copy of my book at freeperfectdaybook.com. Man, they can read that. They can get the audiobook on Amazon. They can also connect with me on Instagram. I'm at Real Craig Ballantyne. So it's awesome. I love doing stories every day, answering people's questions through direct messaging. And then also they can come to my big event, the Perfect Life Retreat, which is every November. It's November 8th and 9th, 2018 in San Diego. It's going to be amazing. And then I also have workshops, so you can go to perfectlifeworkshop.com and come to one of my events. And I hope to see one at one of those soon, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like I said, I totally forgot to mention, the book is free. You just have to pay for the shipping, but the book is absolutely free. And it has had, again, such a profound impact on my life and even talks like today. So thank you again so much for your time, man. Is anything else you'd like to add to all the knowledge bombs you've already dropped?
Well, yeah, I would just tell people to focus on people and experiences. Yeah, you want to make some money. Yeah, you want to have some cool stuff. But at the end of your life, all you're going to remember is those people and experiences.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Craig. Truly appreciate it. So guys, go check them out. I'll link to the book in the description for this. Like I said, it's free plus shipping. So you can't beat that. And again, Craig, thank you so much, man. Truly appreciative.
Hey, great interview, man. We got some really great info in there. You were just dialed in.
Awesome, brother. Thank you, man.